And we've been, as you know, pursuing this great theme of life in the Spirit. I hope you don't get tired of hearing me say that, but it's simply because we're not a static conference or convention, and it may be that some have not been in until this evening. And it's a wonderful thing to know the glory of the life and power of the Spirit of God in the soul. And last night together here we were thinking of the new birth in its power and spirit, and as it were we looked at it from the inside. What a glorious revelation of truth we found in the book. And I want tonight to start then where we left off, more or less, at least, in the idea that God revealed in the blood and water that flowed from the side of Jesus that the womb of God was open. And that Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, was the first begotten from the dead. And the first of a great family. Indeed, the revelation that Jesus made on the earth, the revelation that Jesus brought of God is this, that he's a father. That's the thing that they didn't really know. You'll not find the word Father used about God on the lips of any man in the Old Testament except in a very general sense. Check that up, take your concordances. And Father was an exclusive revelation in the New Testament. And you will remember that before he left the earth, Jesus said, Father, I've revealed thy name. That's right. And you remember this was the great craving in the heart of the disciples at the end. Lord, show us the Father. Deep down in the heart of every man and woman being born on the earth, there is that same great longing. And that's why the disciples' prayer, mistakenly called the Lord's Prayer, is so well learned and repeated. Our Father. Our Father. And so, if we catch up our thinking there, and turn with me, first of all, beloved, into the Ephesian letter. And I want to take up, having referred this afternoon to the first prayer that Paul prayed in the first chapter, I want you to come with me into the second prayer in the third chapter. And this is what he prays. Verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Now listen to this next verse. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now you may have a version which renders it alternatively, of whom every family. It's merely being pedantic. And when revisers only go about sort of to give an alternative rendering, they don't accomplish much. Here the great apostle sees this glorious thing. He's there in the Spirit. Oh, he says, I'm bowing my knees. And listen to whom he's bowing. to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Of course, you know what the family is, don't you? You know who they are. You may say, yes, it's comprised of old Bill Smiths and Mary Baker and so and so and so and so and so and so. And you might go round them all. You say, this is all the saints. And of course, there's a sense in which you're right. But there's a sense, beloved, in which you've missed the whole point. And it's most important for us to get this point. Now, God only ever had one son. You notice it's there. He's the God and Father of our Lord. And notice whose Lord he is. He is our Lord. And it follows on in this great prayer, praying this, that he's praying. This is why he's praying. He's bending his knees to our God. And he's going to pray that we all may be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, and so on. But you see, this is what he's saying. He's our Lord. He's our shared Lord. Glory. And the glory of it is that he shares his Father with us. And God only ever had one son, and he called him Jesus. And when a person is born again of the Spirit of God, their name is changed to Jesus. And we're the Jesus family on the earth. He's named the family. It's the Jesus family. You may have read a book called The Jesus Family in Communist China. A very wonderful family indeed. But beloved, here's the glorious truth. That really, when this tremendous birth takes place, when God brings us into his family, it is such a tremendous thing. He brings us out of the first birth. He brings us out of its nature. He brings us out of its sin. He brings us out of its seed. He brings us out of its inward spiritual likeness, for it's like Satan. So much so that Jesus turned round once to one of his choice disciples and said, "Get behind me, Satan." Because the disciple at that moment wasn't born again. You check that out. You'll find that's a very important thing for you to know. Two chapters after that, he says to Peter and all the disciples, he said, if you people don't get converted and become as this little child, you won't get in the kingdom. That's right. That's right. You read the Bible and believe that. And you see, when we're born of God, this is all dealt with. All our connections with Satan are broken. Glory. They're all taken away. And people that get Satan trouble and devil trouble, there's something fundamentally wrong somewhere. We've got to find out where the trouble is. And God will bring them clear out of it. Amen. So many people talk about the devil and talk about Satan and talk about this, that and the other, because that they can all they can see. Whereas my Bible tells me that blessed are the pure in heart, they see God. They don't see the devil. That's what my Bible says, and I believe it. Devil doesn't get any unsolicited testimonies from me. That's not my job. I heard a man once, he stood up in our church and he was saying, the devil, what the devil had been doing to him. He used to come every week and do this. He used to give a great testimony to Satan and Satan's power and what the devil had done with him all through the week, till one day I got home and I said, now look here, brother, don't give us any more testimonies to the devil. That's not what we are here for. Praise the Lord. Who's he? He's only a fallen servant and he's got to do as he's told. That's right. He wants you to think he's God. That's all. He's always been up to that trick, usurping God's place. That's what he got thrown out of heaven for. He's still at it. And he's had several millenniums of experience too. But the tremendous thing about it, beloved, that he's nobody. Who's he? That's right. We've got to get our sights right. Who is this great God we talk about? He's the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And when I was born again, I didn't realize it for some time afterwards. I've had to find this out for myself, waiting upon the Lord, that he renamed me. He called me Jesus. My name became Jesus North. You're Jesus Brown, Jesus Black, Jesus South. In other words, beloved, I don't know what your surname is. I'm going to order that for you in a moment too. Jesus claims the right to do that. When Peter came to him, he said, they call you so-and-so. He said, but your name from now on is so-and-so. That's right. He altered him. This is the privilege he claims when people come to him. For our names are connected with the natures that we bore. And my name, North, for instance, is connected with the particular twists and perversions of the old Adam that came down through me to through the branch of the human race called the North family. And I'm very glad to be rid of it. I've got a new heredity in Christ, and glory be to his name, which brings me to my point. Let's go back to Romans chapter 8, where we were this afternoon. And in Romans chapter 8, this is what I read. It says in verse 9, now, the last part of the verse, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Hallelujah. Do you know Fletcher of Madeley, whom Wesley named to be the leader of the Methodist branch of the church? When he died, unfortunately he never got there because he died before John Wesley did. But Fletcher of Madeley used to say this, when he stood up in his church and preached like, come unto me all ye that labour, you know, and all lovely texts about all things work together for good to them that love God. His people thought it was real, but when he used to stand up and say, if you haven't got the Spirit of Christ, you aren't a Christian, you don't belong to him. Oh, they didn't like that. They didn't like that. These are the great searching things of the Spirit. Now, you will never find in the Bible any talk about the Spirit of Jesus. You talk about the Spirit of Jesus Christ, but you will find the Spirit of Christ mentioned in the Bible, because this is that which we have. The blessed Spirit of Christ comes in, the anointed, the glorious one of God. And so I am in my measure and in my order. I am a little Jesus Christ. Well, are you? And this is the tremendous truth. I'm born again into that wonderful family of God. You see, you've got to know what spirit you're of. Let's go back now. I'm looking into Luke's gospel. And in this wonderful gospel, in the 9th chapter, we read these words, most important for us to read and understand. And in verse 51, it came to pass, when the time was come that Jesus should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go toward Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face. And they went, and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. If it had been set to go to Jericho, or somewhere like that in Samaria, it would have been all right. But because it was set toward Jerusalem, I mean, the flimsy excuses that people make for not receiving Jesus Christ. Here's one of them, see? And so away they went. And now listen to this. When his disciples, James and John, saw this, oh, you know what rose up in them, don't you? They said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them as Elijah did? But he turned and he rebuked them and said, you know not what manner of spirit you're of. They weren't of the spirit of Jesus, they were of the spirit of Elijah, the great romantic prophet, but he was an old covenant man. They were of the same spirit that was in John Baptist. They weren't of the spirit that was in Jesus. There. He was going to Jerusalem so the fire of God should fall on him and burn and consume in him until the wrath of God against all sin, even that particular sin of which they were guilty, should spend itself in Jesus and they could go scot-free. Hallelujah. That's the one. They weren't of the spirit of the new covenant yet. They were of the spirit of the old. But you've got to know what spirit you're of. And if anybody hasn't got the spirit of Christ, there are now no fish. You say, well, you're wrong there, because they were his. They were his disciples. So they were. Outwardly. But not inwardly. Not inwardly. Listen, here's a test. Are you inwardly a true disciple of Jesus? Would you deny your Lord? Would you, if it meant death, the rack, the stake, the cross, third degree, brainwashing, iron curtain, salt mines, would you deny your Lord? This will find out what spirit you're of. Peter denied his Lord. He certainly wasn't the spirit of Jesus. But afterwards he was crucified on a cross upside down, I understand, and never denied his Lord. That's the test. It's what spirit you're of, what name you bear, whether you belong to the Jesus family. There was a man who momentarily denied his Lord. They put him, they tied him to a stake. They stacked the faggots round him. They burned him. And as the flames were ascending to heaven, he put out the hand with which he had written the recantation and let it burn fast in the flames. Because for a second, for a moment, of cowardice, he denied his Lord. But his spirit was the spirit of Jesus and ascended up in the fire, somewhat like Elijah's, unto the Lord. Glory, glory to the name of the Lord. I want to know what name you bear. This is the important thing. Now it's most important. Turn with me into the Acts of the Apostles. And in the Acts of the Apostles in the 9th chapter, you know that it contains the story of the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. And the first part of the chapter is given up to it. And at verse 10, there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. Glory. Are you on terms like that with the Lord? And the Lord said unto him, Arise. And go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one Saul of Tarsus. For, behold, he prayeth. Of course, he'd said prayers before that by the yard. But now he was really praying. That's right. And all heaven waited on it. God was looking at it, listening to it. Let's go on, shall we? And hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. Now here we are. Notice it. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way. For he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now listen, on the Damascus Road. He's got the names of the priests on authorities. We'll imagine he's got a scroll in his inside pocket or in the pannier on his donkey, ass, camel or whatever he was riding on. And then the light comes and the Lord comes and he's smitten down to the dust. And he hears a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus. That's the name. You've got to bear my name, Saul. A chosen vessel to bear the name of Jesus. Well, do you bear the name of Jesus? Now, I bear a name. If you knew all about it, you'd be like me, half amused about it, and you'd be loath to use all of it, which I do. I only use half my name. We've all got some queer names, no doubt about that. But you see, I bear that name.
Now listen, I don't use it first, I bear it. This is most important. You must see in the scripture that Paul is distinctly stated. He states it himself to Timothy. He says that I've been chosen as a pattern, that in me first God should show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them who should afterwards believe. His is the great pattern life. Now he wrote that to Timothy in the first letter. Read it for yourself when you get home. And he had to have another name given to him. That's right. He had to bear another name. Glory. And that's what he was for. And of course, you know what happened, don't you? You can only, when anything like this happens, Ananias knew there was only one thing to do when God told him that, and he did the only thing that was possible to do. What did he do? He went in and he put his hands on him. He said, "Receive the Holy Ghost." That's right. You can't bear that name apart from the Holy Ghost. You read it. It's there. He knew there was only one thing for it. When God said, "He's got to bear my name." They go together. They go together. Listen. Jesus said, "The Father is going to send him in my name." Hallelujah. Wonderful. Listen. Of course, this hasn't entered into the heart of man. It's never entered into the hearts of man. It's never, no, eyes not seen, ears not heard. Never entered into the heart of man. God has to reveal it by Spirit. Listen. He didn't know, and I doubt that anybody knew, that he meant this. Or one of the things Jesus meant was, it's one of those little secrets that he keeps tied up, one of those little love potions he gives, and portions, he said. He didn't know he was going to send the Holy Ghost in him, see? He was going to send the Holy Ghost all over Asia there, through Paul. Wonderful, isn't it? Glory. Hallelujah. Of course, the first sending was as Christ mediates him. But blessed be the name of the Lord. This is glorious. He had to bear the name of Jesus. See? Well, there are lots of people who think they can use the name of Jesus. And they seem to think that's all it's for. For tacking on the end of prayers. Whether it be for this, that, or the other. They don't see that they first of all have to bear it. Amen. Wonderful. Well, have you been christened? For this is the great christening. This is the great christening. This is really what it's all about. Receive the Spirit of Christ. Bear the name of Jesus. Lord. All right. I want you to turn with me now in the book of the Revelation. In the first chapter. And will you note it is the book of the Revelation and not the book of the Revelations. It's the book of the Revelation, and it's the revelation that God gave to Jesus. It's only one revelation. All right. The first chapter of the book of the Revelation
of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. This is Jesus' revelation. Glory. This is what he got, this is all the revelation. Hallelujah. Jesus had a revelation. Oh, I wonder if you've got the revelation. Have you? And it was for this, beloved, that he could endure the cross and despise the shame, look right through. He was a man with a revelation. It was Jesus of Nazareth, God's Son. And he unfolds the revelation that he cherished in his heart, could hardly share with anybody while he was on the earth. He says, oh, I've got so many things to say to you, but you just can't bear them now. Nevertheless, I'll send the Holy Spirit to you. He'll lead you into all the truth. He'll show you the things to come. Hallelujah. Are you in the place of revelation? But I mustn't stop there. Let's go on. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God, listen, and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit. Hallelujah. All right. The testimony of Jesus Christ. What is the testimony of Jesus Christ? Now then, we're going through the book of the Revelation. Come with me. We're going to the sixth chapter. And in the sixth chapter, now I know that there's a lot about future and there's a lot about the past too, and there's a lot about all sorts of things in this great book. But let's come out of the dispensational angle. And in verse 9 you'll find, when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony, which they held. Mark it. Let's go on into the 12th chapter. And into the 12th chapter in the 11th verse. Oh, let's start at verse 10. Let's go verse 9, shall we? We must get this one. Who's the devil? Listen. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. That's why demons can be cast out, because the devil's already cast out. It's natural to them to be cast out. Amen. And understand that. And he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Amen. Glory. Let's go on, shall we? And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night, and they overcame him. Hallelujah! They overcame all his accusations, the liar. Hallelujah. Amen. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. Keep that clear. We're going to find out what this is before we're through. By the blood of the Lamb. And I want to tell you that unless the blood of the Lamb is combined with this word of your testimony, you'll not overcome, devil. You've got to find out what this is. This is why so many people have a go at this verse and apply it and throw the scripture at the devil's head and he takes no notice of it. You've proved that, haven't you? Come on, be honest. Praise the name of the Lord. And they loved not their lives unto death. That's very important. Let's go on. We'll read again in the 17th verse. I can't get all the connections now. The dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Not preach it, mark you. Not preach it, but have it. Have it. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Have you got it? Let's go on again. No, perhaps we won't. Because we can keep on. You do it for yourself when you get home. Do some homework. All right. What is the testimony of Jesus Christ? I adjure thee by the living God. Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? I am... That's his testimony. And they crucified him for that. John chapter 19. You say, why was Jesus crucified? On the human side, this is the reason. John chapter 19. And yes, here it is. He's on trial for his life in the 19th chapter. And Jesus comes forth in verse 5, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, behold, the man. If ever he spoke truth, it was then. When the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate saith unto them, take ye him! Take ye him! And crucify him. For I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, we have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. That's why he was crucified. Because finally he stood before the Sanhedrin, presided over by the high priest, and he said, well, I adjure thee, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? He said, I am. And hereafter, you know what he said, don't you? You'll see me sitting on the right hand of power. The high priest rent his garments. They said, what need have we of any further witnesses? We've heard him out of his own mouth. He's claimed to be the Son of God. That was his testimony. Have you got it? I am the Son of God.
got it. You got the testimony of Jesus. That was Jesus Christ. He couldn't have said more. Oh, yes, he could. He could have used the definite article. I am the Son of God. I am a Son of God. Amen.
All right. Do you bear the name Jesus? Have you got the Spirit of Christ? Let me smite you on one cheek. I'll soon see whether you will hit me back. So, well, if you bear the name, you won't smite me on one cheek. That's quite right. I won't. That's quite right. But you know, may not find everybody so forbearing. I ask you, have you got the Spirit of the Lamb? George Fox's testimony was, when he was put on trial, God has slain the spirit of war in me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am a Son of God. Praise His name. Do you bear the name? Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. When the devil comes at me, and when he starts to accuse the liar, I know he's a liar before he starts. Amen. And he starts, and he starts. I can overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, and I can turn round him and say, "Who are you, Satan? I am a Son of God." That's my testimony. You'll overcome him then. He can't overcome the Son of God. Glory. He's got to do as he's told. He's a liar, and what's more, he's a defeated liar. If you bear the name of Jesus, and you have that testimony, I'm not asking you whether you go around meetings giving your testimony. That's not what I'm talking about at all. I listen when people give their testimonies to see whether I can hear the testimony. All the sons, give it. Hallelujah. All the sons, blessed be the name of you. You always tell the difference between a servant and a son. I am a Son of God. This is the miracle. Glory be to the name of the Lord, that He in His wondrous and eternal love and grace should come to me in all my sin and helplessness and uselessness. Oh, and He could work on me that I could bear the name of Jesus. Listen, when God sent His Son into the world, He said it, listen, call His name Jesus. He's my Son. That's right. Call His name Jesus. For it is He that shall save His people from their sins. Amen. He saved me from my sins as He saved you from yours. That is, are you keeping on sinning the same old sins? Because if you are, He hasn't saved you from them. That seems common sense to me. To save me from my sins. Hallelujah.
He's done it. Amen. He's done it. Glory to God. I don't do what I used to do. No, I don't. Glory.
Do you bear the name of Jesus? Would God believe you if you told him so? Would the devil believe you if you told him so? Do men believe it if you tell them so? Wait a minute. Come with me into the Acts of the Apostles. In this glorious... It's 9:15, friends, if you must go. I'm not finished. Good night. We shall quite understand if you must go. Love you to stay, but there it is. Here we are. And in the Acts of the Apostles, you will know that in the second chapter of this great book, God sent the Holy Ghost. Is that right? What's the result? What's the result after God has sent the Holy Ghost? Let's read chapter 3, shall we? Here it is. Peter and John go up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. Certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms to them that entered into the temple. Jesus must have passed him many times. He was laid there daily, but he didn't heal him. He left it to do it a little later. That's all. He just left it during the time he was in that body known as Jesus of Nazareth. He left it. He didn't say, I'm not going to heal you. He only left it to do it a little later. For you will know that in the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles, you are told that it's Luke who wrote the Acts of the Apostles. We all know that. And he wrote to the same man and he said, now, I've written the former treatise, O Theophilus, lover of God, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. He continued it, you see, in the Acts of the Apostles. He only began. He never finished it. And the unfinished word, here goes Peter and John. Here's this man, lying at the beautiful gate of the temple. He asks them for an alms. See? And Peter, fastening his eyes on him with John, says, look on us. So he looked on them, expecting to receive something from them. So he should. I want to tell you that that beggars and people in need and the whole wide world has a right to expect something of the Christian church. And I don't mean money either. There's something far, far better than that, as Peter soon showed. For he said, silver and gold have I none. But now listen. Such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus. All right. Let me say it again. Such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus. I'm just using the name Jesus. Rise up and walk. Who did it? Jesus. He bore the name. There it is. And Jesus healed him. He walked past him occasionally in the temple. I suppose the man thought, oh, I've lost my chance. I've lost my chance.
No, he came back and healed him.
He bore the name. Peter bore the name. And people were all excited about it, and they cross-questioned him and said, oh, they said, how did it happen? What's happened? So Peter said, now look here. If we're being tried and cross-questioned by you about how this thing happened, know this, that this man was healed by the name of Jesus.
That's right.
He says it was his name, by faith in his name, that this man stands here whole in front of you.
Glory.
Jesus had passed on his name. Jesus passes on his name to a certain life.
That's right.
Jesus passes on his name that men and women may live in that name, work in that name, pray in that name, heal in that name. Glory. This is the wonder of it. You see, Peter died for that name, eventually. John died because he bore that name. The devil hates that name. He goes out after the remnant of the seed that bear it and have the name. Glory be to the name of the Lord. It frightens the devil to death when a man bears the name. When the devil is confronted with another Jesus life, and so he stirs up all those people, they get in a real furore, they drag them up before councils, they tell them what they're going to do. They said, now look here, did we not straightly forbid you to teach anybody else in that name? You mustn't do it. Frighten them to death. Frighten them to death. Here were some men just like Jesus. They knew positively well that Jesus was alive. Couldn't deny it. Somebody like him. Doing the same things. Preaching in the same power. Here's a man, Paul, bearing the name. He goes off in the 16th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, trying to get in here, trying to get in there, trying to get in somewhere else to evangelize the world. And the Spirit says, no, you can't go there, you must go here. So they go there. You know where they land? Philippi. And a girl starts to follow them. And she says, we know who you are. You're the servants of the Most High God. You've come to declare unto us this, that, and the other. And she kept following them about and doing it. And at last, old Paul turned round. He said, come out of her. In the name of Jesus Christ, come out. There's a devil inside there talking. That's right. In the name of Jesus. Any man that bears that name, any man that will bear that name at all costs, and it will cost you something to bear that name. People don't mind saying you're living the sort of Christian way of life. People don't mind you putting out sort of ethics and good things and saying, yes, I belong to such and such a church. Or so. They don't mind you saying that. But when, if you dare stand up and say, I'm a son of God. Oh, dear. That stirs everything up straight away. And I mean born of God, as we were talking together last night. And not the easy ways that people have got today for getting people born again according to their creeds. But born of God. And the devil knows his master.
devil knows his master. Glory. And don't you get it into your head that God's the king of heaven and the devil's the king of hell and that sort of nonsense. That's medieval. Listen, when the devil goes to hell, he's going to be punished, not to reign over it, and understand it. God reigns over hell, and understand it. Amen. Glory. He's the eternal king, and there's no other. Amen. Listen. Have you got the I Am into your testimony? Jesus said, I am. Now listen to Paul. I am what I am by the grace of God. Jesus could say no more. He says, I am. Paul says, I am. God says, I am that I am. Paul changes one letter. I am what I am. By that grace of that I am. Amen. Have you got the I am in your testimony? I don't mean the big-headed I am that talks, and the best thing to do with a chap like that is get rid of him. The man or woman who come down to that place at the foot of that cross. Lord, you ought to read the I Ams of the Bible. I'll give you another Bible study. You preachers and teachers and leaders now, listen. You take your New Testament and get down to the I Ams. I'll give you one. Depart from me. I am a sinful man, O Lord. Go on, now I've given you a clue. Go through and trace regeneration from that state and what it bring you into. Great sermon for you. I'd like to come and hear you preach it. I've never done it myself yet. I'm always telling myself I'm going to preach on this, that and the other, but I don't ever get there. But here's the tremendous truth. I am. Now, I'm asking you, I'm pointing at you, I'm not going to be so rude as to go around and point at you all, but I'm talking to you. It's not supposed to be polite for preachers to do that. They're supposed to sort of address their marks to somebody up there so that nobody feels uncomfortable. But let me ask you this question. Who are you? Come on, are you a son of God or aren't you? Perhaps you'll thank me one day for making you face the challenge. What spirit are you of? I'm not asking you what doctrines you adhere to. Now listen, or what works you're prepared to do. I'm asking you what spirit you're on. Hallelujah. Glory for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Lord, by thy grace, I'm a son of God. I'm in the family. And the whole family in heaven and earth is named of thee. And I bear that precious name, Father, thou knowest I do. And I want to say, because he has given that name under heaven and among men, you can be saved from sin, you can be saved from the devil, you can be saved from your sickness, you can be healed tonight in that name. You can have the power of the devil broken in your life tonight in that name. He's a cast out creature anyway. He's got to do as he's told. You can be released from the bondages of Satan and hell and any pressure of any one of his fallen angels, evil spirits or demons. Glory be to the name of the Lord. They've all got to go in the name of Jesus. All right. Do you believe that? I wonder if you're so keen as the lame beggar. Cry out and say, give, give, give. Have mercy on me. For that was their cry. They always cried along those lines in those days. Listen, beloved, the Lord will deliver you. The Lord will meet your need. He'll do it. Praise the Lord. Do you believe it? Great needs in this church. As before the eye of the Lord. And the Lord will meet your need if you'll believe him. Let's pray. I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up. You tell the Lord. Glory to the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you bear that name? That's the fundamental thing. Have you got that testimony? Do you believe that the Lord will meet your need tonight in that name? If you do, I give you an invitation in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're sick in body or mind, you believe the Lord will heal you. You come and sit out here on this front seat. We'll pray together. Glory to the name of the Lord. Jesus. If you're under the depressions of the enemy, if you're in the bondages of Satan, here is the invitation in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord will meet your need as you believe him. Father, we thank thee that thou hast given this name under heaven among men. It cannot be withdrawn, for thou hast given it. And we bless thee, Lord, that all the maledictions of hell and all the failures of men and everything else cannot detract in one degree from the most excellent glory of thy name, Lord Jesus. And we bless thee tonight that thou art here with us to perform thy miracles and do thy works. Thou art that same living, risen Christ. And we bless thee. This night we may receive of thee in that precious name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be free, beloved.